Good morning. We are, for those of you who don't know, we're in a sermon series right now, and the sermon series is it focuses on the future, focuses on our current future, our near future, and how we as a church are going to contend for more because we believe in a God who is all about more. His government is going to increase. He's going to increase in this land. And he is a God who has more, and he has more for you. The Bible says that he is able to do more than you can ever ask, think, or even imagine. That's the God that we serve and that we love. And so this is the series that we were talking about and how we're going to be a church that's moving onward into the promises that God has made to us. And we recognize right now that if you are alive right now and that you've been assigned by God, if you're alive right now, assigned by God to live at this point of time in history for a purpose. And my prayer and my hope this morning is that every single one of us would leave here with a greater understanding, a greater capacity to know and understand God's purpose for your life, why you exist. It goes so much further than just personal salvation. It is something so much more. God is up to something that extends to the ends of the earth. God is up to something that is far greater than we can ever even think of, imagine. And so my prayer and my hope this morning is that we will be able to grasp a hold of this and allow and apply it to our lives. Something Jody just said this morning is what I'm going to just dovetail off of this morning, and that is this. And I said it after last week's message that you can hear it last on the church app or online. You can kind of catch up on what we were talking about last week. But you have been personally authorized by the King to carry his message into this world. You have been personally authorized. If you call upon Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, he has personally authorized you to carry his message and effect change on this earth. Matthew 16 is where we're going to be looking at this morning. Matthew 16, verses 18 through 19. And what's taking place here in this passage is Jesus just asked a bunch of people. He said, look, I've asked these people who they think I am. And they said, they think I'm this person and this person. And then he looks at his disciples square in the face. And he looks at them and he says, who do you guys say I am? Who do you guys say I am? And then Peter, one of Jesus' disciples, he voices up in faith and he says, man, you're the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. And in that moment, Peter identified Jesus, the true identity is Jesus, of Jesus. In front of everybody, he spoke it out. It actually came out of his mouth. He says, man, you are Christ, the Son of God. You are the Messiah. And Jesus goes on to tell him, he says, Peter, you're blessed. Because this is not something that anyone else has told you. This is not something that can be revealed to you by flesh or blood. This is a direct revelation from God the Father to you. And he says, you are blessed, Peter. And he goes on in verse 18, he says this. I tell you, you are Peter. And on this rock, I will build my church, his church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, shall not overpower the church. He says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And what do you loose on earth, whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now what I see here in this passage and what we're all learning this morning is that you have been given authority. The body of Christ, the church, has been given authority by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I said something last week, and I'm just going to reiterate it this morning, is that it's not an authority that is yours. You have been given authority by the King of Kings. The authority belongs to him, and he's entrusting you and I with his authority. Now, before I go any further, I want to just dispel a little bit about authority. When all of us think of the word authority, we have this image and this perception in our head of authority in this world, right? Now, the Lord, God, created authority. He is the ultimate authority, and he established authority throughout the generations and through the ages. Now, what we did as mankind and when sin entered this world is the enemy distorted authority. He turned it into something disgusting, something that is, he turned it upside down. And so authority, when we think of the word authority, we have these connotations with this word. Aggression, domineering, aggressive, right? Pushing in, dominating, you know, just that aggressive kind of authority. That is not the authority that is of God. His authority, when he came to this earth, was humble. It was as a servant to each other. It was a servant to mankind. He took that authority in humility and demonstrated in servanthood to this earth. And that is the authority that we have. And we've been given it. it's been entrusted to you. But remember, it's not your authority, as if you can just lord it over anybody and say, yeah, I've got the authority of God, and he's given it to me, and I can just be demeaning and domineering over other people. This is an authority that comes from the King of Kings, who comes in perfect justice and love and peace and joy and mercy and righteousness. That is the authority that he comes with. Now, we all know that football goes on, right? Beautiful game of football. It's an amazing game. There's a lot of teams that aren't playing right now. We are, amen. Okay, but this year something happened. There was a game that happened this year, and it happens mostly every year, but what took place was a football player got called for a penalty, and he got really upset about it, and he gets up into the referee's face, and he stands up into this referee's face, and he's just like overpowering him. He's furious, and he's 10 times the size of this little referee who's wearing a t-shirt and jeans, and pants, right? And he's in his face. He's like, what are you talking about? He's fighting off, and the referee gets it, and he did the unthinkable, which you cannot do in sports because the rules in football is very strict. What did he do? He bumped him. Bodies touched. This big old Goliath thing came at this little old ref and bumped him, and immediately the referee takes out his little yellow flag and throws it, and he says, you're out of here, man. Get out. And so what took place is that this football player is like, he got even more irate, right? And this guy's jacked, right? He's been lifting weights a lot longer than that referee. He's got this armor on, this equipment. He's prepared to fight. He's prepared to go into battle with this referee if it came down to it. But he lost. Referee pulls out that flag and says, nope, you're out of here. He says, you're out of here. Now, what am I saying this for? Is that what gives this little referee, this little nobody, this right? What gives him the confidence? What gives him the strength to stand up to somebody so much bigger than him, who's been muscle-moosing it for so long? What gives him the power to walk up to him? Has nothing to do with strength. Has nothing to do with confidence. It has everything to do with authority. With authority. And what I want to say to you this morning is that you have been given authority by God as his church, as his people, the people that he's called into his fellowship, to go into this land in which the enemy occupies. And he's a lot bigger than you. He's a lot stronger than you. He's been working at this a lot longer than you have. And he's got all the equipment stored up. But you have something that can displace his authority, that can destroy his works in this land, that can displace his rule and reign. What is it? It's Jesus Christ, and you have the name of Jesus Christ, and you carry with you the authority of Jesus Christ everywhere you go. It's all about authority. In this passage of Scripture, Jesus uses the word church. It's found one of two times in the gospel. He uses this word church. Now let me just explain a little bit about this word. In the Greek, the word is ekklesia. Now, it's a word that it was very familiar in the time. Jesus did not just create this word right here and now. He says, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. What he's talking about here is a word that everyone would have known. Because what an ekklesia was in the Greek was an assembly of citizens. It was a gathering of citizens. And what they gathered for was that they gathered to make policy decisions for that city. All right, they were free citizens in free states in Greece, and they gathered together this ekklesia, which Jesus uses the word church, right? They gathered together to make policy decisions, and they gathered together as citizens for a purpose, and that purpose was to establish government. It was to establish a new way of doing things, and they came together, and they gathered together. In a sense, these were the people who ran the city, and everyone knew this. And so when Jesus uses this word, he says, ekklesia, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He's saying, I'm going to gather my people, I'm going to assemble my citizens, and they are going to be authorized to go into the land that I died for and I bled for and I redeemed back to myself, the world that I created, and reclaim territory for me. And they're not going to do it by force, and they're not going to do it by aggression. They're going to do it in love and mercy and grace, in peace, in gentleness, and kindness. And so everybody, they heard these words, and this is Jesus, and he's saying this, and so he's talking about a word, he's describing this word for his church. And everyone would have understood that this meant that they were involved in the activities. That Jesus' church that he was going to be built would be a gathering of citizens, you and I, the body of Christ, the church, citizens of the kingdom, to establish change in our land. Now, this is not just some pep talk this morning. You've been authorized by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to establish change right here. In this county, in this city, in this nation, in your families, at your workplace, in your neighborhoods, you've been given authority by God to take his message and establish change. What kind of change is that? It's the change of the kingdom of God. Okay, so what does the kingdom of God look like? What kind of changes is that? I want everyone to walk away here. I don't have time to go into that so deeply today. I'm going to get into it in just a minute. But I want you to take away from this morning, I want you to go into your Bibles, and when you go away with the Lord, you look up in your Bible what the kingdom of God looks like. All kingdoms have the same kind of things. They have economy. They have currency. They have social order. They have laws, right? And so I want you to do your own research on that this morning. But Jesus here is not referring to a government by the world standards. And he's not saying that this church is my church, my ecclesia, my body of believers, my body of citizens. They're not going to establish a government by world standards. They're going to set up a whole other system. This church would establish his kingdom rule and his kingdom reign. And just as the Greek citizens, as they gathered together and they had direct influence on shaping the culture, so God has given you the same authority to gather together and make change. So immediately we see Jesus entrusting his church with authority to establish his kingdom on this earth. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And it is done through his ecclesia, his gathered citizens, free people, by the blood of Jesus, to establish change. And I want you to see the relationship here between the church and God's kingdom. I want you to see the church is not God's kingdom. The church is a gathering of citizens. We are citizens of a kingdom. That's what the Bible says. The Bible also tells us that we are ambassadors of that kingdom, that we represent that kingdom. The Bible also tells us that we're sons and daughters of the king. And don't take this and distort this, but this is what it means. You are royalty. You are royalty. You are a child of the living king. That's what the Bible says, the authority here in the word of God. And if you are royalty, if the Bible says that you are son and daughter of the living God, that means that you've been given the same rights and the same privileges as royalty to effect change wherever it is that you go. Wherever it is that you step foot. And so as Joe was saying earlier this morning, this is a partnership that we have with God. You partner with the living God and you're assigned to this earth. There is a way that God chose to accomplish his purposes, and it's through redeemed humanity. Humanity that has been redeemed and bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. And it's through redeemed humanity, people who recognize this and accept this, who take their positions as sons and daughters, take their positions as ambassadors of God, and say that they are going to establish his kingdom on this earth. His ways, his rule, the way that he does things, the way that his kingdom operates here on this earth. It's taking the economy of God's kingdom and bringing it to earth. Economy that we live in is get rich and get richer, right? Is leave everybody else behind. That's the economy of this world system that has been distorted. But the kingdom economy that God is all about is it's better to give than to receive. The economy of God's kingdom is that if you give to him what is already his, that if you give to him in return, you will be blessed and others will be blessed. It's an economy that is giving to everybody else and helping people out. You with me? Take the currency of God's kingdom, which is faith. Every kingdom has a currency. The currency of God's kingdom is faith. And you have been given the authority to use it and to spend it. Invest your faith in something. Spend it and see what you reap in return. And so the same way that his lordship, Jesus' lordship, is established in his rule and reign in all of your lives as individuals, Right? As he establishes lordship over your mind and your heart and your will, and now you don't think the same way you used to, and you don't do the same things that you used to, you don't act the same way you used to, because he's the Lord of your life. He's the same thing. He wants to establish that lordship all over this earth. Why? Because he's the Lord over all things. He is not just the Lord over people. And this is where I want you to try to just allow yourself, your eyes to be expanded here and increase your capacity to understand that you are a part of so much, something so much bigger than just your personal salvation. It goes so much further, so much far beyond that we could ever ask, think, or imagine. And when Jesus died on that cross and when he rose again, he was inaugurated as Lord of all creation again. He created it. And the Bible says in Colossians 1 that he reconciled it all back to himself, that it was stolen from him, it was taken away by the enemy. This enemy that's much bigger than you, that's been working out much longer than you. And says that Jesus has reconciled it back under his authority. And then what Jesus did from that moment on is he's assigned his ecclesia, he assigned his assembly of the gathering of citizens of the kingdom, the church. He's assigned the church, the body of Christ. He's assigned you. He's assigned me and every other one of his followers around this earth to go into the land that you live on his behalf and occupy the land and with a new way of doing things, a new authority, a new rule. He's assigned those who bear the image of God and are now standing in right relationship before him, human beings, who were once separated from him. He chose to take these ones who call upon his name as Lord and Savior and believe in him. He chose those people, a bunch of ordinary people like you and me. And he chose you and me, those bought and redeemed by the blood of Jesus, to establish and to make known what his kingdom looks like here on this earth. And Jesus here in this passage, he's communicating to them. He's like, look, I'm about to move in on this world. I'm about to move in on this world that is permeated with evil. And yes, this world is going to reject me over and over and over again. But you know what? It says here that the gates of hell will not stop him, nor will it overpower his people. The gathering of his citizens. And what I love about this passage is that it's not describing a church that is in this defensive mode, right? Where it's the attack of this enemy in this world and it's like we're like holding up, but it's talking about the church on the offensive. It says, I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. I'm giving you authority to go in. I'm giving you authority to actively come against the gates of hell, the spiritual strong walls that exist that you and I can't even see, but we all know that they exist. Addiction is a strong wall of the enemy, right? I can name a bunch of things. I could just go on and on and on. Slavery. Just think in your mind. Things that you know inside of you that are not right. That's the strong walls of the enemy. And you've been authorized. You've been assigned to this land in Delaware County. Wherever you live, Drexel Hill, Media, Broomall, Clifton Heights. You've been assigned right here. You've been strategized by the King of Kings to live right here to effect change in your neighborhood, in your families, and in your workplaces. And again, there's going to be strong opposition from the enemy, but in Colossians 2:15, it tells us that Jesus disarmed the rulers and authorities. He's disarmed them. And that he's put them to shame by triumphing over them. The victory has been won. And I said this last week, and I'm going to say it again, that we are not contending for more. We are not striving for something. We're not striving for victory. The victory's already been won. This is what the Bible says through the death and the resurrection of Jesus. So when we're contending against the enemy, it's not contending for victory. The victory's already been won. We're contending from victory. And so that gives you the courage. It gives you the confidence. You hear me? Victory has been won, and this land, this earth, is under the dominion of Jesus Christ, who bought it and paid for it with his blood, and he's now established you and me, the church, to be the ones to occupy this land and displace the rule of the enemy and his works and to tear it down. What am I saying this morning? What is God trying to say to us this morning? Take your God-given position in this earth and establish, make known the reign of Jesus Christ in every single area of life, every walk of life. Steve Harvilla, this guy who was just up here a few moments ago waiting on us for tithes and our offerings. This man, where you at, Steve? All right, it's all right. All right, man, I'm going to say something. I didn't ask you if I'm going to say it, but I'm going to say it. He was in partnership with a business model that did not reflect the values and the principles of God's kingdom. And he recognized that. And the Lord changed his heart. And so one of the things that he did is he says, I got to get out from underneath this. I know that God is telling me to go set apart from this. And so now he's running a business that operates on the way that God's kingdom operates. His values in that business reflect the values of the kingdom. It's not about get rich to get rich to get rich to get rich. It's about what am I doing with this that you've granted me to do right here, God? How do you want me to operate this business? How can I affect change in this operation? Tony and Barb Tullio, they are the presidents of a local bike club. A bike club that is, you don't. We all know what bike clubs are about, right? We all understand. We all know the persona that bike clubs have, and they've been elected, if you will, as the presidents of this bike club. And what they're going to do is they're going to establish change. The way they're going to do things, the way that they're going to operate things, are going to reflect the way that God's kingdom operates, affecting change in our land and where God has called you. Amen. Carson Wentz. Ah, here it is. And that team, they have established kingdom morals and conduct into a system that reeks of the enemy's strategy to take your eyes off of God. The NFL on Sunday used to belong to the Lord, it now belongs to the enemy. And Carson Wentz and that team, our team, baby, they have established change into a system that reeks of the enemy's strategy to take your eyes off of God. They're establishing kingdom principles and morals into this land. Amen. It's our turn, baby. Maybe you don't own a business, and maybe you're not Carson Wentz. Nobody here is. Maybe you don't have the influence of Carson Wentz, but look around you in your life right now. Just think for a moment, where in my life do I have influence? My workplace. My family, do I have kids? Do I have influence over my kids? Do I have influence into my parents' life? Where is my influence? What has God put around me? Who are the people that God has put around me that He's telling me right now, He's putting on my heart, that I'm called to establish change in this area? You've been given authority by God to establish change. To establish His kingdom rule and reign in your situation, in your homes, in your neighborhoods, in this county, in this city, and in this nation. I believe this with everything inside of me. I believe this with a strong, strong conviction. I'll go to my grave with this. And so I want you to begin to see your house as a royal outpost of God's kingdom. A royal outpost of God's kingdom that He has strategically placed you in to establish His kingdom principles on this earth. Go into your house and just pray over your house. Pray peace over your house. And the Bible says that peace is going to guard the hearts and the minds of the people who love Him. Go into your house and just declare joy. Declare restoration. Declare forgiveness. Just pray over your house when you're just alone with God and just pray these things over your house. This is what you've been authorized to do. He's given you the ability to do it. Begin to see your car as a royal coach. And every time that somebody sits in your seat in your car, begin to see it as such. Begin to see your employment as a royal assignment by God that He's granted to you to establish His kingdom ways in this earth. To establish His ways in this earth. You are not an electrician. You are not a plumber. You are an ambassador of the living God a son of the living God, and you're just masquerading around as a plumber or an electrician. Does that make sense? You are not a teacher. You are an ambassador of the living God to those kids. And you are a daughter who has been given the rights and the privileges as such. And you're just masquerading around as a teacher. You are not a hairstylist. You are an ambassador of the living King masquerading as a hairstylist. You are not a businessman. But you have been transferred from one kingdom into another. And now you are God's representative. And you've been chosen by Him to establish change in that business. You are an ambassador for God masquerading as a businessman. Are you with me? Liz, can I ask you, and Mike, if you guys would just, the two of you would just come on up, and we're going to respond to this message this morning. And Pastor Phil is going to lead us through communion this morning. As we finish up, I'm just going to give you a view of the future right here. Here's a view of the very near future. It comes from Isaiah 9:7. And it says this: of the increase of His government and peace, there will be no end. Of the increase of His government and peace, there will be no end. That means the influence of God's kingdom on earth. The influence of God's kingdom on earth through you, His citizens, His church, His ecclesia, is only going to get progressively better. It's only going to increase. It will not diminish. It will not diminish. And so what I want you to ask yourself as you leave here today, and as you go and you take this word, and I want you to just take this, because I understand this can be some challenging stuff, because it's challenging. It's this whole paradigm shift. It takes everything from, God, you saved my life, to now you've called me to be a part of the greatest rescue mission of all time. What does that look like for just ordinary old me? And so I want you to take this message, and this week I want you to commit to praying this message to the Lord and just saying, God, maybe you don't understand what I'm saying right now. Just say this: God, how can my life contribute to the increase of your kingdom? Just write that down. If you're writing anything down in your prayer life this week, just ask God, God, how can my life today contribute to the increase of your kingdom? What does that look like? How do you want me to operate in my household? How do you want me to operate in my employment? What do you want me to do right now, God? How can my life contribute to the increase of your kingdom? And so what we're going to do, church, is we're going to take communion right now. Pastor Phil is going to lead us. And so if I could ask the people who are going to distribute the crackers and juice, if you guys would just begin to do that now. Thank you very much. Thank you, Pastor Phil.